miserable, unhappy. I felt somewhat trapped, and had no liberty, and I was searching for a happiness that I had never found in this world.
A whole lot different than what it is now. It was, I didn't go to church and had a bad mouth, hung out with the wrong crowd and done the wrong stuff. And then I had a failed marriage and it just, I was heading down the wrong path.
For me, I was young and so it was guilt. I just knew. I felt guilty. Physically, I can remember just sitting through church and just physically ill. My belly doesn't feel good. It was guilt. And so it was,
I guess it looked or felt like a lot of guilt. That'd probably be the best way I could put it.
Just, I guess, an emptiness that was there before I come to know Christ, and I never gave Jesus a second thought at all. I never gave him, didn't hardly know much about him. And
to know that he gave his most prized possession, having a son, and knowing the love for your child, and to know that he gave that up for me.
It's personal. It's personal. And that's what I love. I got so excited to share with them, and because it's not history. It's not about history. It's way more than just an old Bible story. It's so much more than a religious belief. It's personal. It's personal to me. It has changed me. It is life-changing, life-breathing to me. And then, as if that's not enough, then I get the honor and the privilege of sitting around this breakfast table with these kids and their cereal bowls, and to share that very life changing and life-breathing hope to them. It's personal.
When I stop and think about it, it was my sin that helped put him on that cross, and it should have been me up there dying on that cross. It's very humbling, and it.
Not only did he send him, but he took human form. He took on my humiliation. He took on a debt that he did not owe, that I owed and could not pay. And then
it's an amazing, amazing thing, and I'm so grateful that I heard and that he sought to save me.
Last year, me and my family went on a mission trip with Constructors for Christ, and I wouldn't have done that prior to being saved, and I wouldn't have had my wife tonight.
Yeah.
I haven't been saving my children, I don't think.
And the freedom that I find in Christ is completely my mindset is completely different about that. I'm not trying to find favor for anybody, from anybody. I'm doing it because I love the people that I'm around. I want to genuinely help people. When I'm asked to go move somebody on a Thursday night and a Friday night, I want to say yes. I want to say yes because I love them and I want to help out. I want them to feel God's love as well.
And to love each other and to love inside our home, to love outside of our home, to love people that look like us and to love people that don't look like us. Love people that are easy to love. Oh, and to love people that are not so easy to love, but just to love.
No, it's just hard to explain. It makes you want to shout and cry and love and witness and bless and give all the more.
Great time the other night shooting those videos in our office. Jacob Blair and I were just extremely blessed to be able to sit there and just him record and me interview those folks and ask them some questions and to hear those responses. And so we just asked questions and they just talked, right? And so we didn't tell them what to say. And then Brian, our family minister, had the wonderful joy and opportunity to put all of that together. And so we've been looking at that for some time. And it is a remarkable truth that we have been set free. We have been forgiven of our sin, and because of that, Christ in us, the hope of glory, through the power of His Holy Spirit that is at work in us, He has set us free. And today, we unapologetically say, we hope that you, one, have had your sins forgiven, that you have trusted the Lord as your Savior, and that, two, if you are a believer, you know that you're walking in that freedom that Christ has purchased and paid for, and that Christ is growing in you, and you are dying to your old nature and your old self day by day and being reckoned or made alive with Christ every day, and you're enjoying that freedom that He extends. If you have a copy of God's Word, turn with me to Psalm 32. Psalm 32, and find with me verse 1. And we've been talking about during this Easter season in this message series, we've been looking at what it means to be forgiven and free. And we've talked about early on how what it meant to be enslaved by our sin nature and our sin. And then we talked about what it meant to be loved by God, the idea that there was a God and that He not only existed, but He loved us. And then what it meant to be purchased by God, that God took our place as a substitute on the cross. We could not live a sinless life. He did live a sinless life. So He offered His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross for our sins, that we may know Him and that we may be forgiven and that we may walk in that freedom. So it's an incredible truth to be purchased by God. And then today we're looking at what it means to be forgiven and free, because we were enslaved, because we were loved, because we were purchased. Now, what does the life look like that has been forgiven and set free? There is no one in all of Scripture who has a better comprehension of what it means to be forgiven and to be free to serve the Lord and to follow the Lord like God calls them to any other than David. David is the Bible's testimony of a story that is quite stunning. The story of David is just really remarkable in so many ways. David's life is summarized by this statement, that David was a man after God's own heart. That's what it says about King David, that David was a man after God's own heart. However, David's life was not always so. For a large period of David's life, it was marked by disobedience. It was marked by sin. And he was just absolutely wayward from the God that he had once known. He did not do well. Listen to what I'm about to say. He did not do well with power. If you remember the story of David, right? He is the son of a shepherd. He's tending his father's flocks. Israel demanded a king, and so to the forefront comes Saul. God allows him a king, and Saul is not a good king, nor is he a godly king. And so David arises out of this servanthood of being a shepherd, and he's God's anointed, he's God's chosen one to be the king of Israel. But here's the issue that David had. Are you listening? David began to believe what people said about him. And he abandoned the humility he learned as a shepherd tending his father's flocks. And he began to be arrogant and puffed up and conceited. That power did a strange, cruel thing to David. It caused him to lust. It caused him to sin in unbelievable ways. This pride led him to believe that he could lust and he could commit adultery with Bathsheba. He could murder and he could cover it all up for over a year, and somehow God was just going to ignore that behavior. That was David's mindset. I'm chosen, right, by the Lord. And so therefore, somehow God's going to look over or ignore my sin. He was not walking in the freedom that God had made for him and had provided for him. David had forgotten that God loved him and would not allow him to stay in his sinful, disobedient state. So God sends this prophet. Do you remember the story named Nathan? He sends Nathan to David to publicly accuse David and call him to repentance. And David is just blown away by the love of the Lord and the pursuit of God. I want to say something to everyone here today in the sound of my voice. God loves you more than he loves ministry. God loves you more than he loves what he's called you to do in this life. God loves you because he created you, and he created you for his own glory. And so therefore, God will not allow us ever to live in a disobedient way, in a sinful way. If we belong to him, he will pursue us. And so he pursues David. Nathan comes and calls him out publicly and says, David, we know exactly what you did. You lusted, you committed adultery, then you committed murder, and you've been covering this thing up for over a year. David is smitten by the Spirit of God. He is visibly convicted of his sin and his dishonesty before the Lord. And so I want you to listen. This is not where we're at. Just listen to what he says in Psalm 51. Don't turn there. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Now watch this. He says in verse 13 of Psalm 51, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. David, in repentance, understands that the heart and the plan and the purpose of God for his creation is to know him and to follow him and to love him and to worship him. So when God begins to forgive David of his sin, David is so overwhelmed with joy and overwhelmed with blessing. He says, Lord, when you forgive me, I am going to teach transgressors the way. And so here's what we come to in Psalm 32. It is a hymn that was used in the with the Hebrews to teach what it means to be forgiven and free. A matter of fact, it's the first hymn. It's the first hymn that David establishes to begin to let people know this is what it's like to be held by sin. Here's what it's like to be forgiven and free. So read with me Psalm 32, beginning in verse 1. David said, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. If your sin has been forgiven, if your transgression has been forgiven and your sin has been covered, would you affirm that by saying amen? He said, blessed is the man in verse 2 against whom the Lord counts no iniquity and whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I love verse 5. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin, Selah. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Now this is the Lord. So first David is looking at his forgiveness, his repentance, his freedom from his own eyes. And now he's speaking as a prophet of the Lord, and he's speaking for the Lord. And the Lord says through David, I'll instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, for what we have already seen and heard. Lord, that we've already heard from your word, proclaimed in song, and heard from the testimonies of several of our people here at Calvary. God, you are faithful to forgive us of our sins and to give us a freedom that only comes in knowing Christ. Thank you, God, for every man and woman who is worshiping you here today with clean hands and a conscience that has been made pure through the righteousness of Christ. And Lord, for those who are here and maybe their conscience is not clear, maybe, God, their hands are not clean, I pray today, Lord, would be the day that they completely understand what it means to be forgiven. And God, that they will call upon the Lord. They will no longer hide their sin, but they will call upon the Lord and find forgiveness and freedom in Christ. And so, Lord, may you take this word and may you teach us. May the word be hidden in our heart. And God, may we be alive unto Christ. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. And you all said amen. Before I start preaching, I want you to know this will be the shortest sermon that your preacher has ever preached. I promise you that. But because of that, I want to go on record, and where I normally will bear a lot of personal testimonies as I'm working through the text, I just want to bear one testimony today. By the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are looking at a man who has been forgiven of his sin and who has been set free by Christ and whose spirit dwells in him. This was not anything that I'd done on my own. It was not something that I set out to do or be. But by God's unmerited favor in my heart and life, he pursued me and he set me free. So because of that, now watch this, because of that, I preach. Because of that, I pray. Because of that, I want to proclaim. Because of that, I want your all's life to be all that it can be in Christ because of who he is and the great things he has done. To have our sins forgiven by Christ. Have you ever thought about what that means? More than just saying, okay, I'm going to heaven one day in the sweet by and by, I'm going to heaven. But have you ever thought about what it really means to have your sins forgiven by Christ through trusting in his substitutionary death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave? Have you ever thought about what that really means? I'll tell you what it really means. It means, first of all, we are free to find pleasure in God. We are free to find real pleasure and delight in God. When we are trapped, enslaved in our sin and disobedience, there is no freedom there to delight in God. There is no freedom to find pleasure in our Creator and the God of our youth. There is no freedom for us to worship him and serve him because sin has its way within our hearts and lives. But David says this two different times in verse 1 and verse 2. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven whose sin is covered. And then he says it another way in verse 2, blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity and whose spirit there is no deceit. Do you know what he is saying there? He's saying is, happy is the man whose sin has been forgiven. Happy is the woman who God has freed them from their indebtedness to sin. What the true joy that we find and the true happiness that we can find is when the Lord Jesus becomes Lord of our life and he deals with our sin debt once and for all, finally and true. And he works in our life in incredible ways. I want you to think about what he says about why we can be blessed of the Lord and find real joy and happiness and contentment in Christ. I want you to watch this. He says, first of all, you can be blessed because your sin or your transgression is forgiven. That's a tremendous thing. That means that we are pardoned. No, we're no longer guilty before the Lord. Have any of you ever had to seek forgiveness with a spouse or with a parent or with a child or with a brother or sister or with someone at work? Have you ever sought to find that forgiveness? Will you raise your hand? I mean, you just blew it, right? You said something at work and told somebody off that you really shouldn't have. You were short with your spouse. If you were a student or a child, you back-talked your parents and you knew you shouldn't have done it and you sought to seek forgiveness. And when you went to them, there was some bit of apprehension and fear. It was awkward. You wasn't for sure what to do. But when you said, I blew it, will you forgive me? And there was forgiveness extended. There was tremendous blessing in that, was there not? And what it was meaning was this: if it was truly forgiven, that wrong is no longer remembered, is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13. And so that's what happens when Jesus forgives us of our sin. The wrong is made right. It is no longer considered or remembered, so much that he uses this word in verse 1. It's covered. Happy, blessed, rejoicing is the man whose sin or transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, meaning this: it's covered by the righteousness of Christ. Our sin, here's a biblical word, a theological word, it's atoned for. And that word atonement means that our sin has been covered. How has it been covered? It's been covered with the spotless blood of Jesus Christ, who lived a sinless, perfect life for us. It's not only covered, but look what he says about how we can find pleasure in God because he's Lord of our life and he has forgiven our sin. He's covered our sin. But in verse 2, when he says he counts no iniquity, are y'all listening today? That means he removes us from our sin. He not only removes sin from us, but he removes us from our sin. That means that when Jesus Christ becomes Lord of our heart, becomes Lord of our life, he forgives, he absolutely covers, but then he removes us from our sin. A matter of fact, the Bible says he casts sin away from us as far as the east is from the west, is how far he removes our sin from us. And then in verse 2, David is able to say, you know what? Blessed is the one, happy is the man, rejoicing is the person, watch this, in whose spirit there is no deceit. Do you know what God does when he forgives us of our sin and he cleanses our iniquity? He gives us a clean conscience. He gives us an incredibly, incredibly clean conscience. That's a wonderful thing, to have our conscience clean with the Lord. I love what the Lord is doing in all of our boys, especially Jacob. I love that his heart is being tendered somewhat to the Lord. He's not the boy that he used to be. My wife reminded me this week that when Jacob was 6 or 7 years old and Mary Gilly had him in her Sunday school class, it was an Easter Sunday, and Mary said, come on up, boys and girls, we're going to learn about the Easter story. And Jacob was a little reluctant, and he hung back in the back of the class, and she said, Jacob, come up, don't you want to hear the Easter story? Just, can't you hear Miss Mary saying that? Those of you who know her, come up, don't you want to hear the Easter story? And do you know what my son said to her? He said, I've heard it 100 times, I don't want to hear it no more. I'm really, Miss Mary said, too bad, Buster, get up here. You're going to hear it 101 times, right? And so the reason I share that is because it's a wonderful picture, watch this, of a contrast, a difference of where Jacob was yesterday saying in a heated moment at a restaurant, hey, let me lead us in prayer. Or Jacob saying last night, let's go to bed so we can worship in the morning. Or get up this morning and be dressed like the man in black. He looks better than I do, right? And it's just a different place from where he was. Now watch this. Only a heart and a conscience that's been made clean can be made clean, can rejoice in the Lord, can find true joy and contentment and delight and happiness in Christ. And so what does it mean to have our sins forgiven and to be made free in Christ? It means we are free to find pleasure in God. But David goes on and says, you know what? We're free from the burden of sin as well. Listen to what he says in verse 3 and 4. Verse 4 particularly. For day and night, your hand, he's speaking about the hand of the Lord, your hand was heavy upon me. Have you ever been there? Are you there today? The heavy, convicting hand of the Lord is upon you. And he says, my strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. In verse 3, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. When Jesus forgives us of our sin, he frees us from the burden of sin. Sin is this just despicable, defiant thing, is it not? When he uses the word, here's what I love about verses 1 and 2 that helps us understand verses 3 and 4 better. He uses four distinct Hebrew words in verses 1 and 2 to describe sin. And all four of them have a different meaning. And the reason that he does that is so that we can begin to comprehend, watch this, just how amazing God is by allowing us to be freed from the burden of sin. When he uses the word transgression, he's speaking about how sin is defiant, and the very nature and attitude of sin is defiant. It's defiant toward God. It's defiant toward God's ways. It's defiant toward God's will. And sin just makes sinners defiant. Sin is defective. What do you mean by that? When he uses the word sin, it's a different Hebrew word that means lacking. Watch this. It means that the creation can no longer function properly because it's defected. That's what sin does to it. It causes us to be defiant. It causes us to be defected. Sin is, when he uses the word iniquity, it's twisted, it's warped, it's bent. It is, here's a great word, it's perverse. It's really perverse. And it's not only that, but it is deceitful. When he uses the word there in verse 2, blessed is the man whom the Lord counts no iniquity and whose spirit there is no deceit. He's referring to the insincere, the cunning, the conniving heart of a man or woman who's not had their sin forgiven. So when David says, you know what, I am free to experience the grace of the Lord. And then when he says, you know what, he's free to experience the grace of the Lord and to have that burden of sin lifted, because sin to David was a terrible thing. He went from a healthy, sensitive, God-seeking young man to a man who was twisted and perverse, who yearned and craved all the wrong things. He was went to being a man who was defiant before the Lord and tried to cover his sin with deceit and malice in his heart. But here is what forgiveness in the Lord Jesus does. It allows David to be forgiven. It allows him to be free from that burden of sin. I don't know about you guys, but I just blow it from time to time. Do I have any sinners in the place today? If I do, will you raise your hand? We just do. From time to time, we blow it, don't we? I am thankful, watch this, that there is forgiveness and mercy and grace to be found in the person of Christ if we confess our sins, He, meaning Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you know what that says to me? Man, I am free. Free from the burden of sin. I do not have to live under that burden, under that condemnation, under that guilt that we heard two or three of our people testify about on that screen just a few minutes ago. We can be free, free to follow the Lord. And it's all because of the great work that the Lord has done in us. We're free to experience the grace of the Lord. In verse 5, David says, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. When God works in forgiveness through the person of Jesus Christ, and he draws us to Christ, and we turn or repent from our sin, and we trust that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and he rose from the grave on the third day, and because he has eternal life, he can give you eternal life, he can give you spiritual life, he can give you everlasting life. Because of that, we are free to experience this grace of the Lord. That means we can be transparent before him. David, in transparency and honesty and brokenness, he confesses his transgressions to the Lord. And listen to what he says about the Lord. And Lord, you forgave the iniquity of my sin. And then he uses this little tag and he says, Selah. Do you know what that word means? It means this. What do you think about that? David uses it, if you're reading out of the ESV, I believe it's three times. If you're reading out of a different translation, it's probably four times. He uses that word, Selah, 3 to 4 times in 11 verses. Do you know why he does that? Here's what he's thinking. Here's what he's trying to communicate. God, I confess my sin, and you forgave me of my sin. And then he says to all of the people, what do you think about that? That is what those people were doing on that screen just a few minutes ago. When I said to them, hey, can I talk to you about Jesus and the gospel and what it means to you? And those folks said, well, yeah, I think so. I said, I'll just ask you a few questions. And as they were bearing witness of God's work in their life, do you know what they were saying? They were saying, what do you think about that? That is our response when the Lord Jesus works within our heart and life. And so we're free to experience the grace of the Lord. We're free to follow the Lord and his plans for us. The pathway of God, verse 6 and 7. You guys can study it. I'll give you the outline and you can study it. Hey, we're free to know to follow the Lord and his plans for us. When we are forgiven, we are free to pray. You see that in verse 6. We are free to enjoy real intimacy, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. And then when he says in verse 7, you are a hiding place for me. David's saying, you know what? I've been set free to enjoy real intimacy with God, to be able to pray to God. He says, I can enjoy real intimacy with God through his peace. You preserve me from trouble. Intimacy with God through praise and worship. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. And then verses 8 through 11, it's the Lord's perspective. And the Lord just simply says this. God's promise to the person who's been forgiven and set free is that his presence is there to guide us. When he says in verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye open. He's talking about the guiding principle of the Lord. He rules over us. Verse 10, he protects us. I love verse 11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. He makes us glad. If Jesus Christ has made you glad, will you say amen? Amen. If you say, okay, preacher, I really do believe that there's something unique about the Lord when he works in a person's heart and he forgives them of their sin and he frees them to live a life of following Christ. How does that happen in my life? How does it happen? It only happens by becoming a new creation in Christ. It only happens by being transparent and honest before the Lord and saying, Lord, you know what? I need you to forgive me. And I want to say something today. I want to say a lot of some things, but forgiveness is not only for the person who's never been born again, but seeking forgiveness is also for the Christian who's been forgiven, who's been born again, but who, like David, maybe is struggling with power. Maybe is struggling with position. Maybe he's just struggling with his old sin nature creeping up in his life. And we need to repent of that sin. Here's the way Paul says it. You don't have to turn there. But he says, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. That means you didn't even have to worry about righteousness. Worship Jesus. You could be like Travis Warren, who just said, you know what? I didn't think of him much. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? So if you're here today and you're living in sin rather than having your sin forgiven, or you're here today and you're not experiencing the freedom that comes in Christ, can I ask you this question? How's that going? How's that going for you? Do you sense the Lord wanting to forgive you? He says, you know what? For the end of all those sinful things is just death. But now that you have been set free from sin and become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end is eternal life. Watch this. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you have it? Are you just living under church membership in the form of a religion? But you know when you lay your head down at night, you're fearful of death because you're not for sure that your sins are forgiven and covered, taken away. Are you fearful that you don't know the Lord because greater is the power of sin that is at work in you right now than the power of the resurrected Holy One who's at work in you? And you would just say, you know what? If I was to really be honest before the Lord, I'm not for sure that there's a bit of resurrection power at work in me. Or, are you, watch this, are you like a great number of people here today? Are you like David? Are you like those folks on the screen who could say, you know what? My sin has been forgiven and Christ has set me free. I'm not perfect, but man, I'm not the man or woman that I used to be. And God has changed me. And so the invitation I want to extend to you is simply this morning. Will you trust the Lord to forgive you of your sin? I want to invite you to watch this video entitled Free, No Longer Be Enslaved to Sin. And as you watch this, if you say, that's me in that video, I want to invite you in just a moment. We're going to have a hymn of invitation and response. I want to invite you to come and just kneel and ask the Lord to work in your heart and work in your life. If you're here this morning, you'd say, you know what? Today is a great day, Pastor. My conscience is clean. I've been born again. I've been set free. And in my freedom, I want to unite with this church body, or I want to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. I want to follow what God would have me to be and do. And so you want to take a step of obedience. I want to invite you to come in just a moment. If you want to pray to receive Christ, or if you're a believer and you'd say, man, my heart, my life is just not free. It's dirty. My conscience is not clean. I want to invite you to come and find forgiveness and mercy at the Lord. Watch this video, will you?